Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, guys. Good evening. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. God bless you, young people, all over the world. You're listening, and I appreciate that. I'm encouraging parents and leaders to connect your youth to the Resurgence broadcast. That's going to be a part of helping you do what we're supposed to do regarding the training up of a child. You know, the Bible discusses that if we train up a child in the way that they should go, then when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, what does that actually mean? If we give them the proper training, then when they grow up, even if they veer off, they will always come back to their original design. They will always come back to their original design. This is a biblical principle. And the reality is, in the world that we live in, there's not a lot of time spent on raising children. There's not a lot of time given to these kinds of biblical principles. And because of that, we're in this new scenario. We're in this new world where children don't respect adults and they don't respect authority and they have their own mind and, you know, they have their own way of doing things and they don't adhere to any correction. And so this is important that we understand that we've got to go back to the basics. We've got to go back to the basics so that children understand basic principles like children obey your parents. You know what I'm saying? In Yah, for this is right. In the Lord, for this is right. That's Ephesians 6:1. Go look that up, young people. It is important, and it is a command of God for you to obey your parents in the Lord. This is the right thing to do. Now, I'm not talking about those that have parents that are not telling them the right thing to do. We understand that that is, you know, that's actually a scenario in real life, okay? But for the most part, the things that they tell you to do are the things that you're struggling with, taking out the garbage, making your bed, keeping your room clean. Follow the instructions of your parents. All of these things have purpose for your life. And so as you follow those instructions, you begin to grow and you begin to learn and you begin to expand and you become the adult that you're supposed to be. And parents, I'm encouraging you and I'm imploring you in this season to connect with Kingdom Ambassadors Resurgence. Partner with us in this season, families and leaders worldwide. Let's promote the training of an army of youth. You understand what I'm saying? There is a resurgence. There is a rising of an army. There are remnants in the earth, and all they need to do is be dusted off and trained up. All they need to do is be pulled out of the place that they're in, the mentalities that they're in, the mindsets that they're in. They need to realize their identity in this season. And once they realize their identity, they'll stop trying to adhere to the identity of the culture that we're living in. Are you listening to me? There are different kinds of gifted youth on this line that'll be hearing this broadcast. Youth from all over the world, you are gifted. You have not been forgotten. You are gifted. You were born with the gift that you carry. Are you hearing me? And these are kingdom gifts that you're carrying on the behalf of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, from influence in politics to marketplace to music to arts to media to books to technology and education and so much more. We want to build an army that understands its identity and its worth. And a lot of times, these young people don't understand their identity and their worth. There are armies of preachers and prophets and healers and destroyers of the power of darkness. No matter what you've been called to do, you need to understand that that's your kingdom assignment, and that's something that you need to be aware of right now. That is important. I want you to know that an army is rising, and the resurgence has already begun. We've had some interruptions in our resurgence program. You know, we were starting strong last year, and the enemy came in and did his thing, and, you know, we got people just kind of going all in kind, different kind of directions. But it's okay, because there is an army on the rise, and even those that ran off to go do their thing and go do ridiculousness and all of that, they will be back, because there's a hook in their jaw in the season, and God has his hand on their life, and they're not going to just be able to run and just do whatever they want to do, not with the seed that's been planted in them. That's an incorruptible seed. It cannot be spoiled. It cannot be destroyed. And when it's watered, it's just going to grow, and it's just going to flourish, and it's just going to bloom. And that's what this broadcast is about. We want to make sure that a seed is deposited in your life, that we connect with you. And tonight's broadcast is called Joining of Forces. It's important that we join forces. And I'm not talking about young people just joining forces with young people. That sounds great. But the reality is that when we start talking about young people just joining with young people, that's where we get all this confusion from, because you can never solve a problem on the same level it was created. You have to always go above that level to deal with a problem that was created on another level. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And adults, you have a responsibility in this season to train up the young people. You have a responsibility to put them in environments where they can grow and where they can expand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Connect them with people that understand their gifting, that can pour into them. You know, I had a season when all my children were with me. We've gone through some things. We've been through some things because of bad decisions that I made, connecting with the wrong people, marrying the wrong people. You know, I mean, you know, that's life. Okay, but I'm going to give you some scenarios tonight that's going to prove to you that no matter what you went through, you can come through and you can be somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is not an excuse for you to bend and to bow to the circumstances that you've been through and say, oh, well, I was molested, so I'm just going to be a molester. Or, oh, well, I was raped, so I'm going to be a rapist. That's foolishness, and that's not reality. Okay, you can make a decision to be something different. Can I tell you about somebody that was something different? And then we're going to go back, because now I'm jumping ahead of myself. George Washington Carver. He was born in 1860. And I know that name probably don't even ring a bell to most of you unless you've done a black history paper by now. And if you've done a black history paper, he may ring a bell, but it's not something that you read about. It's not something that you dwell on, because you're really too busy. Clearly, you're too busy on your iPads, your iPods, you know, listening to music and, you know, on your phone texting and all of these different things, which are not necessarily negative things in theory. But what I am posturing tonight, what I am presenting to you tonight, is that you're spending a lot more time on things that you're not benefiting from than things that you're causing to be beneficial for you. So George Washington Carver, he was born a slave. You know that, right? He was born a slave. He was even kidnapped. Him and his mom were kidnapped at some point. I remember that part of the story. But can I tell you something? He was sickly when he was a young child, and he grew out of that sickliness. But there was something on his mind as they were in the fields picking cotton and picking these various plants. He became a lover of plants. Now, he's a slave. Are you hearing me? But he identified his gifting as a young man. And what I want you to know, that all of this technology is simply a distraction to keep you from becoming what you were born to become. It's a distraction. I know grown people today that don't spend any time educating their minds. They don't spend any time expanding themselves. None of that. They're watching videos all day. They're listening to music all day. And understand, I'm a music person. I'm a musical person. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But I can't sit and watch music videos all day. I can't sit and listen to music all day. There is work to be done. And those kinds of mindsets and ideas start in youth. And my children were trained to be hustlers. They were trained to be business owners. And that's why a lot of them are not comfortable, even though some of them work jobs right now. They're not comfortable in that 9-to-5 thing. You know, a couple of my children are outside of that scope, and one of my children actually is a dance instructor, and he refuses to just work a regular 9-to-5, but he's a dancer. That's one of his gifts, so he's operating in one of his giftings. And he has a mindset that, you know what, the 9-to-5 sounds great. I've been made some offers, and they sounded great monetarily. He's got his mother's mind for real. They sounded great monetarily, but what I thought about, Mom, was the fact that why would I work a job that I hate? Why would I work a job that I don't want to go to? Why would I work a job that's not beneficial for who I am and where I'm going? Sure, the money will be great, but I won't be operating in any of my gifts, and I won't be doing what I'm called to do. That'll go on hold while I work this 9-to-5 and make somebody else rich. So I'll just wait. I'll just keep grinding at what I'm grinding at. And as I'm continuing to grind at what I'm grinding at, the opportunity will present itself for me to shift gears and go to a higher level in what I'm doing. Are you listening to me? But everybody doesn't have that mindset. We live in a culture where the 9-to-5 is the rage. You know, and if you don't have a 9-to-5, then you're not really working. But I want you to know that you've been gifted to do great and many things. George Washington Carver, let's go back to him. Raised in the field, but yet he possessed a great interest in plants. One of the things that he did was he started talking to farmers. Now, he's a young man. He's talking to farmers about improving soil. Of course, they were like, what is this young boy talking about? Who is he? You know what I'm saying? Who is he to tell us what we need to do? Are you listening to me? But he was actually a person that encouraged all of the things that we're looking at today, a lot of those things were encouraged by him. Paper is made from fibers, and in most cases of modern paper, the fiber used is wood fiber. But Carver found that the fibers of peanut plant could be used to make a variety of different kind of papers. So he brought that to the forefront. You hear me? And the peanut itself could be used to make different kinds of paper. You hear what I'm saying? So, I mean, he was a young man, but yet he had an interest. He was a young man in captivity, yet he understood that there was something more to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says on an ad that I'm looking at, I believe he had over 1,000. But, of course, you have to do the research, because when you look at specific websites and that kind of thing, there's a barrage of information on websites. And some people would like to rather minimize the things that he identified instead of giving him his full credit. So the one that I'm looking at now only gives him credit for about 300 uses for the peanut, but there were much more, okay? But he did issue bulletins to farmers and housewives explaining how to use peanuts to make soap, face creams, axle grease, insecticides, glue, medicine, and charcoal. Are you hearing me? That's amazing. And he patented over three of his peanut inventions and was not interested in fame or fortune, but his inventiveness with peanuts led to peanuts becoming one of the six most produced crops in the USA by the 1940s. Now, you need to understand, in that day and age, peanuts were not thought of as a cash crop. I know I'm talking big words to you tonight, but I have to talk to you on the level that I want you to be at. A cash crop is something that people saw that made money. They saw it as that brought in income, and peanuts were just not thought of that way. Carver is the one that made peanuts a cash crop. And now we have peanut farmers, people that sell peanuts. It's a big deal. Paper was made out of it, animal feed, colorants. All kinds of things were made out of peanuts because of his inventiveness, because of his willingness to go with what he felt on the inside of him, what he knew was a part of him. So many people don't do that. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm going to name you some other people in a little bit. But right now, I want to go back to the top here, because I want to go back to a verse that is very prevalent in our broadcast and is very prevalent even in the adult broadcast that I teach. I think it's an important verse for life, because everybody needs to understand this verse. The verse simply says, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. If you've got your pads, your iPads, or your iPods, or your phone, or you have a Bible near you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And I want to encourage the parents that are listening to the broadcast, and if you're allowing your children to sit in front of whatever they're sitting in front of to hear what I'm saying tonight, I want you to make sure that they have a Bible or access. Help them get to the passages. Show them the Bible apps on the phone so that they can get to that. They've got all of these things at their fingertips, and the thing that they go most to is the games. Can I tell you something, young people? Life is not a game. It's not a game. And so many people think that life is a game. Yes, you should enjoy your childhood. Absolutely. I agree with you enjoying your childhood and having some freedoms and having some fun and learning how to ride bikes. You know, the reality of childhood is this. You have fun in the process, but this is the reality. You are in the process of learning a great many things in childhood. You learn how to walk first, then you learn how to talk, then you learn how to use the potty, you learn how to eat by yourself, you learn how to do a bunch of things. You learn how to ride your bike, you learn how to begin to put puzzles together. You're learning all of these things. You go outside and you play, you're learning new games. That's a learning process. I know we treat it as fun, and it may be fun to you, but the reality is, even though it's fun to you, those are processes of learning. You learn sports. You learn how to roller skate. You learn how to ride a skateboard. You're learning to do new things all of the time, and that's what life is about. It's about a process of learning experiences. That's the reality. Life is about a process of learning experiences. So, yes, it's new to you, and that's why it's fun. It's exciting to you, and that's why it's fun. Okay, but that's okay. They're learning experiences, and these are supposed to expand you and make you grow in your mind and in your ability and in your confidence to learn new things and to do new things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, when I was a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I had to put away childish things. Had to put those things away. And as you're ever growing, as you are ever learning, you need to understand that childhood is something that you grow out of. It's not something that you remain in. I know adults today that still have a childish mindset. They've allowed their experiences, they've allowed the things that they've been through to hold them hostage in a place in their mind. They're still children, even though they're grown-ups. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the way that you know a person is a child, because if they're in an adult body and they make childish decisions, they're still children. You know, you have a lot of people that say, I'm grown, honey. You know, these people that talk about I'm grown, but they think like children and they do things the way a child would do them. That's not grown, honey. That's childish. That's child behavior. And so what we want to do on this broadcast is we want to join forces, not just with the parents, but we want to connect with the youth. Listen, we've got a lot of stuff going on, and we want to bring the resurgence to your city, to your town. I want to talk to you about that and let you know more about it. We've got a flyer that is circulating in this season, and maybe I'll put it up here where you guys can see it. But if you're not connected to my Facebook page, definitely connect there, at Apostle Crystal Lee. Connect to my Twitter page, same thing, at Apostle Crystal Lee. Connect there so that you can see what's going on. But we've got our first youth and young adult encounter coming up this year in September, and I'm excited about that. Resurgence is the name of the conference, and it's the encounter, and it is, I believe, the rise of superheroes. I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm excited about what God is doing in the young people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm looking forward to this encounter. You know, I've got work to do right now. I've got to make sure that the word is out there, that people are aware, and all of that good stuff. But we want to bring encounter to your town, the encounter, the resurgence encounter to your town, because it's high time for us to pour back in to the generations that are coming up right now. You know, they are leaders of tomorrow. And people talk about this kind of stuff all the time, but then they don't have the right stuff that's going to put them in the right position to possess the promise that's over their life. And this is important. So it's a constant learning and a constant growing. That's what childhood is about. It's a constant learning and a constant growing. And as you are ever growing, you are coming out of your childhood. You know, when you were a baby, you couldn't walk. You drank a bottle. Somebody needed to care for you. You either drank a bottle or you were breastfed. Somebody had to care for you. They had to change your diaper. They had to do all these things. But you grew out of that stage. Are you hearing me? You grew out of that. You didn't remain in that place. And anything that's not growing and is not advancing is retarded. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying that for negativity's sake. If it can't grow and it's not advancing, then it is retarded. That means it is stunted in its growth. It's no longer advancing. It's no longer moving forward. And that's what life is about, no matter how old you are. So you're growing out of that childhood place. You know, we've talked about this before, I believe, on other broadcasts. Your articulation has changed. Your ability to talk and your ability to communicate has changed because you went from making sounds for getting people's attention to actually using some words, to actually making full sentences and having a full vocabulary because you were learning because of your environment. And that's why environments are so important. That's why environments are so important. Are you hearing me? So I want to speak on for a minute the grown-up concept that's being presented to the youth in this season without, well, minus, I should say, the responsibility. I talk vaguely about the fact that you guys have iPods and iPads and, you know, all of cell phones and all of these things at your disposal in this season. And can I tell you something? From where I'm standing, the age of technology has just been a dream killer for many of you. Because parents, you have allowed your children to have these tools without supervision. You've given them adult tools with no supervision, no training, no reinforcement. And so now they are learning how to not be responsible. You know, I'm saying if you're going to give them a cell phone, if you're going to give them an iPad, if you're going to do all of these things, then there needs to be some level of accountability and some level of responsibility. Are you hearing me? These things, though, have made them unresponsive. How many times has your parent called you, talking to the young people now, and you were too busy on your phone or whatever it was, and you felt like, what? You know, like, I'm doing something. Can I tell you something? What you're doing is not as important as your parent calling you. But the moment that that thing, and I'm going to say it again, that thing becomes more important than your human interactions, then that thing is a problem. Are you listening to me? I want you to see the thing that it's causing in your response ability, your ability to respond in your environment. I know young people right now, their head is always in their cell phone. Their head is always in their technology. And they're not doing anything to advance themselves or to learn anything. They're just simply sitting somewhere laughing at videos. I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about adults. I'm like, where do they do this at? Isn't there more to life than just sitting here and laughing? Because you know what? Life is not funny. Real life is not funny. You can have times when you have funny and hilarity and have fun and all of that, but life in and of itself, it's not funny. It's a very serious matter. Are you listening to me? And the decisions that you make today are going to decide your tomorrow. What you decide to do today is based on the information that you obtain or the information that you've rejected. It's based on all of that, and that's what's going to form and fashion your tomorrow. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's important that we understand that there is a level of responsibility that comes with all of those tools that you're using. You know, there are a lot of things that are feasible for adults, and the reason why it's feasible for adults is because they have the capacity, they have the understanding and the reasoning regarding these things. You don't have the capacity, you don't have the reasoning or the understanding of these things and the utilization, and oftentimes many adults don't, because I'll tell you what, the reality is all of this access that we have to technology, how many of you have ever sat and said to yourself, you know what, instead of me just being a platform user, why don't I become a platform programmer? Because there's a platform viewer. Instead of just being a platform viewer, why don't I become a platform creator? You know, why don't I create programmings and video games and apps and all that kind of stuff? There's stuff on the internet right now that'll teach you how to code. And you don't know what code is, though, right? But you use those iPads and you're using your computer every day and you're in front of video games, but you don't know what a code is. You get what I'm saying? You don't know what you're using. You don't have an understanding of what you're even using, yet you're being consumed in the use of these things. A code is the information that goes into those devices to create what you're looking at. That's what a code is. There are programs online right now. There are free programs for coding. I wish I had written that down for you so I could give it to you, but you can go and look it up. You look up everything else. Parents, there are apps out right now that will help you to manage what your children are looking at on their phone. I had this app on my computer back in the day, and I was excited to see that someone had created an app for that. I don't remember the name of that either, but you can go and find that, okay? But it will help you to manage what they're looking at because contrary to your belief, you walking away from them without giving them any supervision opens them up to the World Wide Web. And do you have any clue what's on the World Wide Web, ma'am or sir? Do you have any clue what they have access to? Do you have any clue what they learn in school, what they talk about in school with their classmates, what they are exposed to that they then find on the internet when they get home? Do you have any clue about that? So you need the tools that are going to help you to parent them, because, you know, those devices are not their babysitters. Young people, those devices are not your friends. That's not your imaginary friend. Those are devices that should be used responsibly. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But how about going from a platform viewer and user to a platform creator? That's possible. There are young people that create apps all the time. I'm in the season of my life right now, and I've been using technology for some time now, but I didn't have the information that I have now today to have the mind to create the things that are coming to my mind today, like apps and, you know, I've got video games on my mind. I've got some things up my sleeve. These things need to happen, you know, but we need platforms. And part of what we want to do at Resurgence is make available, even if it's online, if we make available, if we can find a way to pull all of this information together to make available to the young people that they have access to things that train them to do things. That's my goal, because instead of just being a consumer, you need to be a creator. Are you hearing me? I had one of the young ladies, Ariana. I love you, Ariana, if you're listening. That's one of my elders' granddaughters. She's a young woman, and she's 8. And we talked the other week on FaceTime, and one of the things I asked her, because I identified that she is an artist, you know, and her grandmother confirmed that she's an artist. She's very artistic, okay? And so I asked her, and she's musically inclined. So I asked her, I said, Ariana, have you ever created any cartoon characters? You know, when is the last time as a young person you sat down and just picked up a pencil and a pad and just began to write something down or begin to draw something, begin to write down your ideas? Everybody on here is not an artist, but you may be an author. You may have experiences that you can share with other children, other young people, other young adults that can impact their lives and help change their lives forever. But instead, you're on your video game. You are on your iPad. You are on your cell phone and all of these things and on your iPod, and you're being consumed with things that have already been created. It's sapping your creativity. I want you to dream again. One of the young people that was on this broadcast, they began to dream. That was the first dream that they ever had. I had decreed in another broadcast that I was expressing that the Father would allow you guys to dream again. Children don't dream like that anymore. It's amazing to me. I haven't heard a child's dream in a long time. That's not even something that people talk about anymore. And I'm connecting the dots in this season. I think the connection of dots in this season would definitely be that we're in the age of technology and that you're consumed with what you're holding on to. So your mind doesn't even have time to express itself. Your imagination doesn't even have time to form, because all you're imagining is the next best pair of gym shoes, because you're trying to keep up with everybody else. All you're imagining is the new cell phone or the next video game. That's what you're imagining. Can I tell you something? You're so much more than that. You are so much more than that. This culture that we live in, it is nothing like cultures that have been, and even cultures in other societies. This Western culture is something special. The Western culture has devised a thing called adolescence, and I've talked about this before on many broadcasts, even adult broadcasts, and I want to make an announcement to you young people as you are listening. There is no such thing as adolescence. Life is about growth, and adolescence is about a person stopping in a position and being able and allowed to have a freedom to do whatever they want to do without responsibility. They put stipulations on you for working. They put, you know, back in the day, young people used to actually do things. They used to actually go to work. They could go to the grocery store and run errands and all. Now, I understand we live in a society where people are wicked, and that's not the best idea for you to send your young person out to the store alone. But, however, they should be able to be outside riding their bikes and having fun with their friends and playing the games that children play, getting outside of the house and getting exercise. That's another reason for the morbid obesity rate amongst young people, that young people don't exercise. They don't move anymore. They are stationary. They're doing video games and, you know, they're listening to music and they're in the house. They're not outside. Sure, they should have boundaries when they go out there. I believe in boundaries. But at the end of the day, there are other things that should be done. You know, so we live in this culture that is really not as it should be. Can I ask you a question, young people? Peer pressure. What in the world is peer pressure? What is that? I'm not familiar with that. You know, when I was growing up, I had parent pressure. I had God pressure. Peer pressure, I was not trying to be like everybody else. I was not trying to do what everybody else was doing. I was not trying to mimic everything everybody else was doing. I didn't need to just say things to just fit in. You know, one of the young ladies on this broadcast, and I'm sure she's listening, I told her when I talked to her on the phone, I was able to talk to her on the phone. I said, listen, there's a young girl in your classroom, and you need to get away from her. What is her name? She told me her name. I said, leave her alone. She's going to get you in trouble. That's her job, is to get you in trouble. And what you don't want is for you to lose the good name that you have with your teachers. So walk away. Leave her alone. She is not your friend. Do you know that lo and behold, a day came when she did not follow those instructions and she was in trouble with her teachers? And it went, you know, home, the message went home, and it got back to me. And I didn't say I told you so. I just said I heard what happened. Did you get the lesson now? That's what growing up is about. It's about getting the lesson. But can I tell you something that I hope changes your life? You don't have to learn the lesson because you defy the instructions that are given you. That's not the way that you want to learn lessons. I'm talking to you tonight as if you're my own children. Are you hearing me? You don't have to learn the lessons by defying the authorities in your life, by defying the people that have already been a child. They've already had your experiences. And can I tell you something? You are by no means fooling anybody. Where you are, it's been identified if your parents are paying attention. If you've got real parents and real people in your environment, they know what's up with you. They know what's going on with you. I told one of my children years ago something that was going on with her. She was denying it. Oh, no, Mom, that's not the case. And lo and behold, didn't she come out and tell me later, yeah, that's what it is. I know you. You're my child. Parents know their children. They know what their children are dealing with. And this is important, parents, that I understand that you work a job and all of that good stuff, but they're going to need to be some things that are prioritizing this season as it pertains to our children. Because an army being raised takes real drill sergeants. It takes people that are over them to train them and to drill them and to give them the boot camp that they need to become the people that they need to be. And if they're in school 8 hours a day, they're away from you. And by the time you get home from work, they're in after-school programs. They're doing a bunch. And then by the time you get home after work, you're tired. You just feed them, and it's bedtime. You wash them up, send them to bed. When do you have time as a parent to really pour into them? I mean, come on, we've got to think about these things. These are things that need to be considered, because the reality of it is that somebody else is training them, and you have no idea what's being poured into them. You have no idea all of the extra education beyond the education that they're getting in school, which sometimes is very bogus. It's not even actual. It's not even real truth. You know, there's an importance in knowing true history, but a lot of our history books are revised, and they're constantly being revised. They're not true. I took my children through a series of education when I was homeschooling them that was uncommon. I didn't even get that education. The education that I gave them, I didn't even get it. The education that they got in the social sciences and all of that, and sociology, all this, I didn't get that kind of training. But they got that to learn about land and to learn about, you know, how the earth works and all of that kind of stuff, and how the people in the earth, I believe that's a social science of some sort, how that works. You understand what I'm saying? How all of this works together. And so it's important that they get the right education. Can I tell you something? You were told in your school that Christopher Columbus discovered America. Yeah, he did discover it, but he was not the discoverer of it. There were already people here. By the way, Amerigo Vespucci was before him in discovering it. Okay? So I'm just saying, it's important in knowing true history, but you never know these things unless you go and study them. And you have to have the mind as a young person to be hungry for information, to be hungry for education. But can I tell you, your first hunger, it should be for the Word of God. Parents, the first hunger that you should give your children is the Word of God. And I promise you, if they're off right now, if they're older, they'll come back because they'll recognize they need them. I have children that have bouts of spirituality. Absolutely. And they got a good education in the Word from the time they were children. They have bouts of spirituality, bouts of being deep. You know, they pick and choose when they want to be deep. But it's okay. Because, again, there's a hook in their jaw, and I'm not worried about it. They have to be all that the Father has declared them to be because it's already written in the books of heaven concerning their life. They can't run from it. They can't hide from it. It is who they are, and it is what it is, you know? It is what it is. So this is important that we understand the culture that we live in. I want to share this information with you because I shared it on one of my other broadcasts, and I'm praying that you can still hear me. There was something that I looked up some time ago, and I think it's an amazing study. But what it details, people of God, what it details young people is the fact. Hold on, let me pull it back up. What it details are the facts about how Hebrew children are raised. Okay, and I'm going to give you an example of the education that the master might have had. You may know him as Jesus. He's also Yahshua, okay? That's his Hebrew name, but people call him Jesus. Okay, so for the sake of the broadcast, I'll say Jesus so you know who I'm talking about. Here's an example of what kind of education he would have received as a child. First of all, at age 5, he'd have been ready for the study of written Torah. That means he would have been ready for the study of the first books of the Bible. That's what's called the Torah. Okay. Before that, he would have been learning how to read. Are you hearing me? Before age 5, he would have been learning how to read because in order for him to be ready to study something that's written, that means he has to be able to read it. So by 5, he was ready to for the study of written Torah. Look up Torah, T-O-R-A-H. When you look that up in your search engine, it'll take you to what the Torah is. It describes that what books of the Bible that is. Those are the books of Moses. Okay? You listen to me? So he was ready for the study of the written Torah at 5. By age 10, so that's 5 years later, now he's ready for the study of oral Torah. That means now he has to begin to recite it. Are you listening to me? 3 years later, it's time for his, what the Hebrews call a bar mitzvah. It's a ceremony for the coming of age. And I know the Jews use this term, and they you know, it's a religious, they call it a religious ceremony, but the reality is the Bible is not a religious book. It's a book about a kingdom and a king who desires you to be a king in his kingdom, you to be the royalty that you really are. Are you listening to me? So by age 13, they're having a ceremony to celebrate the young adulthood of a person. So you've got 13 years technically to become all that you need to be to walk into your coming of age is what they call it. By 2 years later, there's a study of more stuff about legal decisions and all that. By age 18, they're usually ready for marriage. Now, I know in this culture, that's a foreign thing, you know. By age 20, they're either going into the military or they're looking for a profession. And by age 30, they're ready to enter mainstream of community life. So before that, they're not really entering the mainstream of community life, okay? They're not really entering that. They're still educating. They're still being educated. They're still learning. They may have a trade, which is usually a family trade. That's usually a family trade that they have, and that's another lost art in Western culture. Families don't run businesses anymore. They don't have businesses. I don't get my businesses back off the ground again, and my grandchildren will be working in my businesses. Some of my children will be working in my businesses again. We've already done that, but I'm going back to that full force, and they'll be working. I don't want my children working 9 to 5 to make their money. I want them to be able to work in the family business and grow and expand and have greater ideas. One of my daughters, because she was working the family business, she began to think on her own about products and things she could create. Of course, she hasn't done it yet. It was a great idea then, and she was really excited about it. But life, you know, and what you need in this season is focus, young people. You need focus, because if you don't focus on something other than your iPods, your iPads, your cell phones, and your video games, then you'll never attain or achieve what it is you're called to be and who it is you're called to be. So this is important. I'm going to mention this. How many of you know some inventors that you can just spout off? If I named Thomas Edison, could you tell me what he was known for? Can you tell me what he was known for? He created a great many things. He created the light bulb. He created the phonograph, which we would consider in this day and age, and because I'm in the music business, I would consider that the ability to record. It's a tool that was the ability to record and replay music. It's a phonograph. Look it up. P-H-O-N-O-G-R-A-P-H. Phonograph. That was the beginning of being able to hear music. You're listening to music on your iPods and iPads and all this different stuff now. But before you got to that, before that technology came out, somebody invented a path for you to be able to listen to what you listen to. And the reason why this is so important is because when you learn the history of things, when you begin to learn the history of what you're holding in your hand and what you're using, then it begins to open up your mind. It begins to give you possibilities. Are you hearing me? And he went from, and it went from the phonograph to a thing called a gramophone, which is really the first name for a record player. And, of course, not many people have record players in their homes anymore. We went from record players to VHS. I'm sorry, what do they call those? I can't think of what it is. Not a VHS, it's a cassette deck tape. It was a wide thing. It was similar to a VHS, but it was smaller. I can't even think of what that's called right now. Then we went from that to CDs, and then we have all this digital stuff in the digital world where we're able to download or just play a radio and all of that good stuff, you know. So it's important that you know your history. If I mentioned the Wright brothers, could you tell me what they were known for? Maybe, maybe not. They were actually the first people to design, to build, and to fly a powered aircraft. That was one of the greatest 20th century inventions. And it's one of the reasons why we have airplanes today. It's the reason we have airplanes today. There were many other people that were attempting the same thing. But you know what they did? They gave up. Because they kept failing. Can I tell you something? Failure is a part of growth. It's not really failure. It's called learning a lesson. It's called learning from the experience. It's not a failure. It's a lesson. So when you get that lesson, now you have to go back to the drawing board and begin to create again, begin to dive in again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, again, I go back to the fact that your biblical foundation is a priority over everything else. And until we get you your biblical foundation, you'll really have no clue of what your real identity is. You'll be easily influenced. You'll follow the crowd. You'll wear what they wear. You'll be as they are. You'll do what they do, you know, and you will not understand why you were individually created. The Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew your unformed substance. We've talked about that before. Before you were even formed, you know, your substance is what you're made up of. He knew your unformed substance before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Your creator knew that. God knew that about you. So you're very important to him. You're very important to him. You are on his mind. You understand what I'm saying? So no matter what age you are listening to this, you need to understand that you are on the mind of God. And he has a purpose for your life. And identifying that purpose begins with you identifying who he is. Then you'll identify and begin to know who you are. And that's a part of our job as parents, to help you identify who you are. I understood that my children were very creative. They were musically inclined. They were artistic. They're authors. They're singers. They're radio broadcasters. They are actually probably radio owners, radio broadcast owners. You know, I remember a time when my children were much younger. They were children. And they would take my tapes, I didn't mention tapes, out of my bag. These were important tapes to me. And I would hear them in the room recording broadcasts. You know, we're coming live and such is having major conversations. And, you know, they're recording live. They're doing their radio broadcast show. This was when they were children. Can I tell you how far ahead of the curve they were? I don't even think my children realized how far ahead of the curve they were. I don't even think they understood the prophetic nature of who they were in that hour. You know what I'm saying? Because how many children were actually taking their parents' tapes and stuff and trying to record over them their own show? What children were doing that? I don't even know any children personally that were interested in that, but mine were. So that detailed a part of who they were. And as a parent, I have to hone those gifts. I had to hone those gifts. They're musically inclined. They're vocally inclined. Are you hearing me? They're business owners. They're inventors. We've got to identify these things about our children, and we've got to take the time to pour into them. Can I tell you something? There were young kings. You know, Rehoboam was a young king, and I believe I've mentioned him before. He was a young king. But you know what his problem was? Instead of him adhering to the knowledge and the wisdom of the older people in the kingdom, he went on ahead and talked to his fellows, his boys, his bros, and it caused him to lose his kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's why it's not a good idea for young people to join forces. Now, it's okay when we're all there and when adults are in the environment and, We are guiding their interaction. But outside of that, I don't see how that's beneficial at all. That's why I'm not a great proponent or a fan of children's church. Yeah, I said that. So if any leaders are on the line and they're listening to me, I don't like children's church because I believe that children should be in a sanctuary with their parents. I believe that studying the word, that fellowship among the saints, I believe that should all happen together. That's how I came into the life of a believer. I wasn't in children's church. I was in the balcony, and I heard the call. I heard my pastor. Pastor Mathis was his name. He was an older man. I heard him talking about this God who would be our father, you know, and if we just came to him, he would be able to be our father and anything that we lacked. I needed that. I didn't have a father growing up. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't know my father. I had a stepfather eventually, but I didn't know my father. And so I longed for that. And since the age of 5, I've been connected to this God that has been my father. So no matter what you're encountering or what you're experiencing, there is a God who is your father. He's your original father. He's your creator. Are you listening to me? Of course, your parents had something to do with you coming into the world because there was a process that God created for you to get here. But he is yet your father and the original creator of who you are. You hear what I'm saying? So at age 5, I come into that age of the believer. You know, at age 15, I got my heavenly language. And that might be something foreign to you right now because nobody really teaches young people about a heavenly language. That's the language where you're speaking in tongues. Maybe you've heard that term before. And that's an important communication because it's your direct communication with God outside of just speaking English words to him or whatever language you speak. Are you hearing me? I was baptized, of course, and then I preached my first sermon at the age of 16. I was a Sunday school teacher at the age of 12. So I came up in a way where I was trained a specific way. Now, some of my training was just religious. And as I am older, I understand the things that God was speaking to me on a regular basis, that Yahweh was speaking to me on a regular basis because he didn't want me to get stuck in the construct of religion. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so he was making deposits. While they were making deposits, he was making deposits. So now it all makes sense as an adult because, again, growing from a child to an adult is about a process. And even though I'm an adult now, I'm still in the learning process. As long as we're alive, we're ever learning, we're ever growing, we're ever expanding. That's important. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's very important. I had a couple more notes here, and then I'm going to turn you guys loose tonight. I'm not going to spend 2 hours tonight. And by the way, our next broadcast will only be 30 minutes from here on out for now. They'll only be 30 minutes. So I want to just talk about the fact that it's important that we have good leaders. It's important that we have the ability as young people to follow the instructions of our parents. You know, my mom gave me great instructions as a young person. Some of them, she gave me the best she had. Some of them were incomplete instructions, but nonetheless, they were good instructions, and I'm able to use them today. Even the instructions that she gave me, some of them were not actually fully matured instructions, but as I'm older today, I can put those pieces together and understand what she was saying. But what we want to do with the resurgence, what we want to do with these superheroes, adults, is we want to make sure that they have the proper foundation. That's my goal for you, young people, to make sure that you know your identity, to know who you are, to know who God is, to know the strength of your God and the power of your God, so that you're not afraid of anything. I'm not talking about this not afraid foolishness that people do when they just walk out in the middle of the street without any care. You know, they just do whatever they want to do. I'm not talking about that. That's really fear, trying to pass off as confidence. I'm talking about you're confident enough not to be pressured into things. You're confident enough to be okay with your own identity. You're confident enough to understand and to accept your difference. To understand and accept your difference. Because you're not like everybody else. If you've been called to this army, you're a peculiar person. You are a royal priesthood. And can I tell you something about royalty? They don't fraternize with everybody else. They fraternize with their own. They don't just go outside and just ride their bike with, you know, the bad kids on the block, the kids that's up to no good and doing dirt. They don't do that. They don't do that. They don't hang out with people that are not going the direction they're going in. They just don't. And so you need to become the army that you're called to be in this season, and your identity and your worth is invaluable. I'm telling you, it's invaluable. Listen, parents, I want you to connect with me. You can contact me at kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. Again, that's kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com. Contact me there, and let's come together and release the resurgence in your area. Let's do that. We want to pull together some things for the young people. We want to pull together sessions, and I want to pull people together from various industries and various places that can actually pour into them in their various spheres of influence so that young people understand that they can be who the Father ordained them to be, but they're going to have to identify what that is. And parents, they need your help to do that. I want you to connect with me. If there are any young adults on this broadcast or young people and you want to connect with me, you got all of that. KingdomAmbassadors247@gmail.com. If you have questions and you want answers to things, go ahead, because I know as a young person, I had lots of questions and I needed answers. So that's why they made me a Sunday school teacher, because some things they couldn't answer. So they wanted me to go study it out and go seek it out. And when I would find it, they said, you know what, just give her a class. Give her a Sunday school class, please. So she can stop asking us all these questions. I had great Sunday school teachers, though. They were amazing. I learned a lot. Okay? I can attribute my teaching and my training to all of the foundation, even though we don't agree on a great many things, is yet where I came from. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you to know that no matter what side of the tracks you've come off of, no matter what you are dealing with, what your experiences are, you can be all that you were born to be. But I want you to know that it's important to identify what you were born to be. Not just falling into some construct or some system mindset of, well, everybody else is being this, and they say this makes money, so let's be that. Or, you know, you got to get your mind together. You can start becoming what you were born to be right now, right now. If you got ideas, if you got visions and dreams, and I'm commanding again that you dream again. Turn your iPads and stuff off and dream again. Go to bed at night. Don't sit up on your iPad. Take that time to go to sleep and to dream. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because dreams are important. A lot of things that I've encountered in my adulthood, a lot of things that I've experienced, my dreams have sustained me. I understand why I've gone through those things. And so I understand where I'm going because I've already dreamt some of that. Are you listening to me? Many of you on here are very prophetic in nature. You've got prophetic gifts. We want to talk to you about the prophetic gifts. We want to talk to you about marketplace stuff. So I'll be bringing people on sometimes, and I'll have a few words to say in and out, but I want to bring them on to share different concepts with you about arts, about media, about books, about technology. Are you hearing me? This is important for your life. So we're going to pull together what we need to pull together to make sure that you have what you need, all of the tools that you need to become the person that you were born to be. Listen, I love you. This is Apostle Lee. I'm signing off tonight, and I want you to know until the next time that we meet, listen, young people, if you got iPads and iPods and all that good stuff, you connect with me on Facebook as well. I'll make room for you on my Facebook page, and on you can join me on Twitter and watch me on Periscope. I'm going to get on Snapchat shortly, so I'll let you know what my Snapchat, I don't remember what it is, my Snapchat handle is. It's probably going to be at Apostle Crystal Lee, so I'm probably not going to change it because I am who I am, and I want you to know how to identify me. So when I get that up and running, I'll let you know that's just going to be another avenue and another place for you to find me, and I'm going to be talking your language, okay? I'm going to be talking your language, talking to you about a great many things, about your gifts, about life, about relationships, and what that's supposed to look like, okay? I love you so much. I appreciate you for being here. Listen, thank you for taking the time to listen to the broadcast tonight. I want you to share it with your friends. I want you to share it with your family. Share it with your cousins and your aunties and your uncles and them. You hear what I'm saying? Your classmates and them. Don't just keep it to yourself. Turn other people on to what we're talking about here and let them go back and listen to the former broadcast so that they can get the education that you're getting in the Word. All right? Love you so much. God bless you. Until the next time we talk. You are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it, young people. You are superheroes, all right? Don't forget it. This is the rise, the age of the superheroes, and you're rising in this season.